The season of Lent is a time for us all to face together the brokenness that is in our lives and give it over to Christ so that we can be restored by him through the cross. Anointing was a common practice among the Hebrews, as evidenced in today's Old Testament reading that comes from Exodus in chapter 30, verses 30 to 33. In the case of priests, certain oils were reserved for their anointing and not to be used for purposes of anointing common people. Let us listen to the word of our Lord together. You shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them in order that they may serve me as priests. You shall say to the Israelites, this shall be my holy anointing oil throughout your generations. It shall not be used in any ordinary anointing of the body, and you shall make no other like it in composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an unqualified person, shall be cut off from the people. The practice of anointing was also present when Jesus was in ministry, and many times the most special oils or perfume were reserved for those of honor as they entered a home or became a king, or again for the priests in the temple. The most expensive oils were never used for common people. In today's gospel story from Mark, the disciples frowned upon Mary of Bethany using a special anointing oil for Jesus. Let us read from Mark's account in chapter 14, verses 1 to 9. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people. While Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and she poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A woman named Mary of Bethany, 12 seasoned disciples, a room filled with a heady fragrance of the finest perfume, a broken alabaster flask, and a savior drenched and dripping with the finest imported nard. It was Holy Week. Jesus was only a few days from arrest and trial and crucifixion. But tonight, Jesus was with dear friends. It wasn't so long ago that Lazarus had been dead and buried, and Mary had sat with Jesus while her sister Martha complained about doing all of the work. But tonight, Lazarus was sitting at the table with Jesus, and his sister Mary and Martha were there. It was springtime. The week-long festival of Passover was just around the corner. Jesus was with his friends in the familiar village of Bethany. It was a happy night, but we don't hear much about that. What we do know is that the chief priests and the scribes were alert for any reason to arrest Jesus. You might say the proverbial walls were closing in on Jesus, and this may be why he took refuge in the home of dear friends. Mary has already made her mark on the gospel stories. Remember, she was the one sitting and listening to Jesus while Martha cooked and cleaned and served while Jesus was visiting. But tonight, boy, Mary really did it. Sometime while everyone was seated, or as John tells us in his account, while they were reclining around the table, she came to Jesus with an extraordinary gift. Nard was imported. It came from northern India, from a plant that grew there at the foot of the Himalayas. And let me tell you, it was not cheap. And Mary had almost 12 ounces of it, worth 300 denarii, which is about a year's worth of wages back then. By today's standards, it was worth not hundreds, but tens of thousands of dollars. And this precious nard, which was not oily or greasy, but simply wonderfully fragrant, was bottled in a glass-like translucent alabaster flask or bottle with no lid. As I was explaining to the children, this bottle was sealed as one piece. It didn't have a screw top or a wax plug or even a cork. There was only one way to open this jar. You had to snap or break off the top, which meant that it was a single-use dispenser. There was no way to use just a bit, no way to save some for later and have it maintain its integrity. So Mary used it. She used it all, pouring it all over Jesus' head. Now, we're not told why Mary did it. There are no clues to her motivation. Was it love for her Lord? Was it gratitude for the resurrection and healing of her brother Lazarus? Was it an act of worship? We can't know for sure. Mark doesn't write that in his account. We just know what she did, and her decision caused a reaction from some gathered around the table. Mark doesn't even truly tell us who those are who reacted so strongly. My guess is it was the disciples. They were shocked. They simply could not believe what they were seeing. The bottle is broken and the entire contents are emptied onto Jesus' head. And just like that, in a moment of seconds, thousands of dollars worth of perfume was dripping onto Jesus' clothes and onto the floor. Just like that, a year's worth of hard labor was gone, poured out onto Jesus. Just like that. Well, they were right to be shocked. I mean, this was incredible. It was way over the top. Sitting and listening while her sister worked was one thing. And Jesus had managed to turn that bit of wasted time into a teaching moment. But this was different. This was money, lots of money being wasted. And so in the eyes of those who witnessed what she did, it just felt wrong, which makes it hard to find fault with their reaction. Because they had reason. Common sense, and even biblical mandates all on their side. They were being wise and careful and even spiritual, doing what they knew was right. The disciples, who I like to think probably had the strongest reaction, have reason to be shocked by Mary's action because likely they have been so careful with their finances while journeying with Jesus. They honorably use the small funds donated to them for their basic needs. There was likely nothing extravagant that they experienced, but just what they needed to continue Jesus' ministry. And so we can understand that the disciples were being cautious, demonstrating great fiscal responsibility and even caring for the poor and needy while they were at it. At least in this story, you hear them remembering the poor and the needy, where, you know, there are many stories where there at times response is based on a selfish need. To them, Mary knew no limits. Mary, who could offer not a word of explanation, much less justification. And to them, Mary was a misguided fool at best and a prodigal thief at worst, taking food from the mouths of starving babies to fuel her extravagant demonstration of waste. No question that Mary was careless, according to the disciples. And like the disciples, we like to play it safe. We like to do what is controlled and reasonable and frugal and careful and responsible. It doesn't seem too smart to most of us to give all you've got all at once so that you end up with nothing left. Doesn't seem very wise, does it, to give without any thought about tomorrow? And so most often we give what we can afford and consider even that a great feat. We covet and hoard our time and guard it against getting overextended, but what are we saving our time for? Sacred hours before the TV? Some one-on-one time with our backyard? A few extra undisturbed morning hours of fellowship with our pillows? I can't think of a single time in the entire biblical record where anyone was ever commended or praised by God for playing it safe. Every time someone tried to play it safe, it ended with a scolding from God. Jesus never had praise for people who used common sense and caution and took it easy. The faithless servant who buried his single talent, he was reprimanded. The rich fool who had every future plan perfectly covered and retirement all worked out was condemned. God is not impressed with a play-it-safe attitude, so the cautious, play-it-safe disciples missed out entirely. And once again, they actually failed Jesus and Mary. Here in Bethany, they blew it big time. The poor disciples, they try hard, but they often just don't get it. And in a few days, when they are in the garden with Jesus, and Jesus is arrested, they again play it safe and do the responsible thing, and they turn tail and they run. And at Golgotha, only John mustered the courage to make a brief appearance. The rest were nowhere to be found. It was dangerous to be there. So better to play it safe, right? All too often, though, I think God is not impressed with caution. He's not gratified when we hold back. He's not pleased when we save something for another day. The disciples were wrong, and Mary was right. Now, Jesus, he could have made everyone happy. He could have said, you know, Mary, they've got a point. This time it's okay, but now don't you get carried away with this kind of thing. Don't make a habit out of doing something so extravagant. But he didn't. He did not even gently remind Mary of the importance of, you know, keeping things in balance and the need to avoid extremes. No, actually, it seems like Jesus takes Mary's side completely. It was not an issue for Jesus of neglecting the poor. Jesus' ministry proves his love and concern for them. There was nothing to balance, nothing to consider. It was simple. It was an issue of a broken container. It was a matter of a vessel that had been broken and now could only be used completely with nothing held back. And the vessel that was broken, the vessel that won the praise of Jesus, was actually Mary herself. The broken alabaster container, that was only a tangible display of a much significant breaking that had already happened. In her love for Jesus and in her singular desire to serve and to honor him, Mary was holding nothing back. Like the broken jar that had to be completely spent once it was broken, so Mary could keep back not one thing in her devotion. And so Mary didn't give just halfway. She did not just give a small part of herself. She did not do what was safe and reasonable or even convenient. She did what she knew she had to do. She gave herself completely and totally. Mary was the broken vessel pouring herself out in eager service. Once she had been broken, there was no option. She had to give it all. And of course she did, because she could do nothing else. And Jesus praises Mary because that total surrender, that complete giving, that all out, totally sold out life is precisely what he wants for every one of his people. Jesus is not content with careful, play it safe disciples. He wants people who spend everything in their service, people who are broken and yet are pouring themselves out without any limit. Jesus calls us to a life like that. He calls us to a life not of careful calculating and prudent saving, but a life of all-out giving. And that's what Mary did. And so as we begin our Lenten journey, perhaps it's time now to pull out all the stops and to knock down the safety barriers and go all out in this living for God thing. Maybe now is a time for us to reflect on what we are waiting for. Maybe we don't play it safe. Maybe we quit looking for balance in regards to our relationship with Jesus. Maybe we quit hiding behind the comfortable, quit honoring the reasonable way. Maybe we break the vessel and we go all out. And when we do that, there will be people around us that will tell us that it's not safe or easy or even smart. But that's the way it is with broken vessels. It doesn't have to add up or make sense. Sometimes it can't be reasonably explained. There's nothing held back. Don't arrive at your funeral with unused energies, hoarded hours, and stockpiled resources. Spend what you have now. Spend it doing what God gives you to do. Spend it in service to Christ and his people. I'm not sure that Mary fully realized what she was doing that evening in Bethany. She just did what she knew she had to do. And it was the right thing. Jesus was anointed, like an early embalming, a preparation for the passion, death, and burial that was only days away. You never know what will come from your all-out giving, but I have no doubt any giving we give will be blessed by our Lord. So let's just give it. Let's break open ourselves and give our time and our abilities and our money, and let God do with it what God wills. To God be the glory. Amen. Friends, if you are able, please stand and join with me in our song of praise. In the bulb there is a flower.